This collection is called The Language of Books, and I'll just start this one. The problem with books lies in what cupboard you'll find yourself hanging in, whether you take them off or keep them on. They came from Persia's seamed fitters, along with the trouser and settles as nouns. I like to choose my books from the rails of second-hand shops. Vincent de Paul is the best for everything end of season. I'd like to be my own designer, but what of the other wearers? The tailcoat met the lion skin and called it savagery. The morning coat met the suffragette, who called it inequality. The coatless met the landlords and called for democracy. That's the problem with coats. The way a simple naming can switch them into scapegoats. The only ones worth wearing are the colour of two magpies clacking from the top of rainbowed trees. This next poem is called Demography, and for those of you who have books out there, I find that my publishers constantly talk about the demographics of your sales. It's very stressful when you're trying to sell poems, but this poem is called Demography. I am born, my name is Mary, after the Blessed Mother. I have six sisters and the two brothers. I am little, I have a horse. I have five sisters and still the two brothers. I miss my sister, may the saints and all the blessed angels mind her up in the holy heaven. I am Mary, I am bigger now. I live in Dublin, that's the capital sister of the country and the site life, with no toilets or electric or a barbie shower or a binman. I'm going to the school and it's shite, the school and the teachers. No, I'm not going. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. My mum won't let me leave. I'm bigger now. Bigger than you lousers any day. My mum is crying over her father, that's my grandfather, because he's passed away. And he's only 50. Lucky to reach 50, the others say. What's lucky about it? There's a girl in my class, and she's a know-it-all pain-in-the-arse Barbie bitch. Asked me, did I know that 5 in every 100 of our sort of people pass 50? And a good job too, says she. And I made a good job of her nose, and I'm suspended, and that's a good job too, best job ever. The teacher said I'm a criminal elephant, and what it has to do with criminal elephants, I don't know. And it just goes to show the buffs, the second people, they're not near white. I am Mary. I am bigger now. I live in Dublin, the capital city of the country, like. I am blessed now. I made my communion today. There was a woman came into our trailer the day, me and my sisters, we say we get a lot of visitors. When I told my mum that more people visit us than visits the shrines and the relics, she told me for to shut my mouth, we need them people. I need nothing from them. And they ate all the biscuits and their nose ear by far than the shades, and that's the God's honest truth. I am Mary. I'm 10 years of age. I have six sisters and one up in the holy heaven, and two brothers and now the twins, and they've just arrived, the one a boy, the one a girl. So that's the seven sisters and the one that's up in the holy heaven, and the three brothers and my mum's war out, and so's the rest of us. And this woman came the day about the moving into a house. And she was saying that for every 102 of us who are boys, there's only 100 who are girls. My mum didn't know what she was on about. And in her people, the second people, there's 98.6 boys for every 100 girls. And the next thing you know, I says to my mum, they'll be looking for our fellas, and while I swear to the Blessed Mother and all the blessed angels, they'll never get into my trailer to eat all my biscuits and be nosing after me boys. Wishes. Hoping our teeth fell out for fairy furniture to swap for silver in egg cups. Magic in each and every tree. Moss mats and acorn hats under every mushroom known home. Chasing a cabbage white who led us to a lane between two high hawthorn hedges. Our camp for those two dearest dolls, Eileen and Annabelle. The carriage for Contessas, that red-brown. Snowdrops in snow showers, the kitten born early, buried beside empty cottage gardens, searching for mystery under ivy headstones, found bone and plastic flowers to treasure against reason's growth. Before that time is spun, sycamore peas will wings for flight to lands across the sparkling seas, where children wooed and adults were as extinct as dodos. And this next poem is a sonnet. It's called Fox Rings. It's for Titian. In rooms like these begin the small revolts against the way it is, the way it was, towards the way it could become only if change can make inroads on all dead ends. It's said to treat them mean to keep them keen. It's said distance can make the heart so strong. The gap between what's said and is wide, but just as hard to breach as breakers are. Before she came in off the road to stay against her will, tethered to these white walls, the sun and moon began and ended days, rhythms that held them close against the world. The fault is when we try to be what we are not and put others into a box. And the next one I'm going to read is the last of the historical collection, which the collection opens up with. And it's called Enchantment, Virginia. You were sitting on the shoreline as I embraced white horses jumping past the nine maidens. The seven snails we stepped on ghost walk the sanded path behind the canavets. You strained to skyglide with hawks hung in cloudless air as I followed goldfinches towards three stone styles that gifted early berries and a wild pause before five red ponies drummed down empty fields to chase us back onto the spiral path where webs caught drops of dew and filaments of light harvested like honey against winter storms in Fisherman's Cove. In the dark and dripping cave, beams cannot reach our treasured feathers. Pirate guardians light beacon fires to spirit lure us back again to Gwydion, oh Gwydion. When I was a child, the teacher on the desk had a big black book, and if you asked any question that was untoward, they would write your question in this book. Now, what happened to the book afterwards, I don't know. But one day, she was showing us pictures of Adam and Eve, and I asked her, what happened, how come they both had belly buttons? So this question went into the book. And then we started asking her about apples. And so the religion class ended. Anyway, this poem is called The Apple Man. There are many ways of saying it, but to cut to the chase, you'd like to upset his apple cart, knock him off his perch, and bring him down to size. So you want to leave this world and all its rotten apples, go somewhere where sunlight dapples time, and everything is as it was before your Eden fell. But they'll say you have a screw loose. What apple? What cart? No matter that the art of apple tempting is the centuries-long cause behind the conjugal excuse. So this is what we'll do. Us throwaways and discards. And no, it's not too hard. We'll play a game of wait and see. We'll hire a lawyer who'll waive her fee. We'll lobby for the rights of the wronged. We'll hire an assassin who's well armed. We'll visit the local fortune teller and buy a charm from her chrome trailer. We'll kidnap him and sell him. But what I hope for you is this, that you would take a knife and in honor of your life cut across the last apple to find the five pips shaped in a star, and that you make a wish upon it that will banish all fake apple men from your fair orchard, and that you plant these five pips in pots beside your bedside till you find that at your side you have grown your own green man, a real apple man. Almost a little bit longer, called The Summer Inn. What words can paint the summerings with her? The scenes that form the lines of childhood run amok among slough markets, free to buy white bags of pinky chew and sticks of rock. All gone the do's and don'ts. I never could in years to come watch rose petals afloat and not remember how we made perfume, a hoard against the winter snows and rains. In my nanny's garden, flowers smell the light air, and planes flying overhead sound the ear. All this before biscuits and juice, sparkly homemade elder pot that fizzed on the tongue, contrast to squash orange at home that mocked my accent, my dress, my tone. What is it that can draw me still to squirrels? Squirrels in parks that run up trunks, peeking out at the two of us in matching outfits with wicker trucks from which to feed the reds and strays we met along the way. The one we loved best selected rich tea bits from your fingers, so close and yet so far, like all the wild living creatures. Hellos and how do you do's replaced Kalashnikovs and border checkpoints beside bordered beds of roses in the park. One stray we met, his name was Dickens. He said he'd lost the path of life and war, the one to save the star, the number two. She knew the names of every herb, each tree connected to the land's laneway and street. A different way of mapping out terrain, not north and south, but west and east as one. The same with people too, who came and went along the street to peddle wares from door to door, like leaves that leave their homes for greener fields, only to circle back again, always to her. The summerings undid corsets of belief, and we made with rise and fall stitches outfits of pink, not green or red and blue and white or black, gingham, to wear along high shoes from which to dive and soar and view anew the land. The game is photographic. Trace the face with fingers mouth to mouth and half-shut eyes and memoria. Stories of trysts, the best, the ones forbidden. In blitzed bunkers, you remaining to drive the milk in vans as trains chuck-chucked across the land into the west. The well I threw pennies way down in Kerno remembers as the stones remember us, petroglyphs, the photos of old sacred altars. Picasso said that pictures heal the sick, and you also believe the two of us in time and space had bent absence. I heard the news by phone, pictured presence in summerlands, ever and ever summery. What you call foundering out here, isn't it? Do you know the village outside the town here, the Protestant village with all the stone houses and the water? Well, I live there, and I'm sorry now I moved there, Claire. Oh, for all sorts of reasons. And it's got a bad name, you know, for not being friendly. And the worst of it, Claire, is that the top man here, they call him the top man, I'm sure you've heard of his name, he got me moved down there so that he could stop at me and look through me windows whenever he felt like it. You see, they think they can do what they like, just because of who they are. Do you see, like? And I was only making a cup of tea and some sandwiches when I sees him looking in at me, and I had no choice then but asking him and asking his name again. Like, I was only joking, do you see what I mean, like? And he takes it all serious and says to me that there's a name for all this. And I says to him, so what? I was only praying, like, and I was answering the priest, like, as if I was in my own church. And so what if I wasn't? They're watching me all the time, like, well, we all do, in effect. Are you a Catholic, Claire? You are, but your name's not Claire. Don't worry about your name, Claire. Where was I? Oh, yes, I says to him, no need to be going all high and mighty just because it's in his own case and he has his name to think of. Shouldn't we all have our names to think of? And wouldn't I not be here with any name today if my mother had listened to all the names they were putting on her in that other awful place that she escaped from many a time? God is God, whatever your name is. That's what I say, don't you agree, Claire? He's the top man in here. Goes by the name of Doctor. And he's very particular in that regard. And he says I had to come down here to the town, to this place. And they haven't even put a name on the place yet, but I'll be taking this up with the higher authorities, because the way I see it, he's the one with delusions. The delusions of power. I only asked to go to the mass. Sorry? You're only visiting the place. And your name's not Claire. Never worry, Claire. Everyone in Ireland has two names. The one they put on the people in here, and the one God put on you when you were born. And the one they have on you in English, and the one in Irish as well. Like, you know, Belfast and Belfersta. Are you from Belfast, Claire? And you're not from Belfast, and your name's not Claire. Don't worry about a name. They'll try to tell you names will never hurt you, but never you believe them, Claire. This fragment from Chapel, that many quotes I took the first two lines and then added on the rest of it myself. So this is called Fragments 146. For me, neither the sting of the bee nor its honey, only the howl of the wolf and the mewl of the cat beneath a sickle moon. For me, neither the nectar of honeysuckles nor the crackle of popping hazelnuts, spelling out the sigils of fortune's wheel. For me, neither the thorn of the rose nor its sweet scent, only the wildflower meadow and the roots of the dandelion in the rocky crags. For me, neither the straight road nor the winding path, only the labyrinth and labour along the cliff edge of bulk star-speckled seas. For me, neither the tie of threads tying and binding me into a pocket doll, the odd ones pull strings off around purple fires. For me, only the call of hidden hedges, lair of hair, where rutting stags bellow and soaring eagles carry me to freedom's skies. When I have a myriad of relatives and practically every Thursday, you know, you get phone calls, such and such a third cousin or a cousin once removed has come to the house and sort of scoot up and do the tea and sandwiches or whatever. But one visitor is my aunt who was a nun in Africa for 27 years. And when they had a coup in Ghana, all the priests fled and she was left behind. With the other nuns, and they got all these rites that the male end of the clergy in the church normally had, like giving out communions and whatever. So she became a bit of a feminist nun and started writing all sorts of things, you know, about nuns' rights and this sort of thing. But one of the things that she loves is literature and poetry, and she really believes that poets and writers should get paid as much as, you know, barristers and judges, this sort of thing, you know, so she's very great that way. And this poem, I mean, over the years, when she would come, when she was little, when we were little, you know, she'd be sitting in the room praying all the time, and mother saying that she's praying to the spirits. So we all thought like she had this direct phone line to God for a long time. Anyway, this poem is called The Visit, and it's from my mum and my aunt. To spend a life and to have said you've spent it well, it's not a question of bank accounts or lists you tick off, of all done and yet to do. When all is said and done, there's much, much more to us than number. But why then do we believe it all? I knew a child who told me once in confidence, only the gods can count to forever. The physicists believe the past is a particle, and that what we've ahead of us is waves. Perhaps that's true, perhaps it's not. When all is said and done, there's far, far less to us than placings. So why then do we worship them? I met a woman who told me once in confidence, same plot, but different characters. The wars we wage are as varied as chalk and cheese, but much, much more deadly. As power lures, it bores, corrupts, and turns against itself. When all was said and done, there's much, much more to us than hatred. So why can't we crack the code? My mother told me once in sympathy, the world is more full of weeping than you can understand. Status is what we give the top dog lawyers, doctors. The shrines we build are made of wordplay, sticking plasters. But treat effects and ignore cause. No matter how you dress it up or dress it down, the ladders, roof, circles were hit a sucker punch. I loved a man who told me once in confidence, secrets are lies untold. We close our ears, but then visits that surprise catch us unawares, reminds and jolts awake the soul, and what it takes to make it grow. No matter where we run to or where we try to hide, it's there, valueless, weightless, waiting to go home. I love the one who told me once in confidence, you'll never be alone. Thank you.